I will say at the beginning of this conversation that I have never been a civil rights activist by any means. I want to make that perfectly clear.
The teenagers who took part in the 1963 Children's March see it differently. They say they relied on the code words and signals from Shelley Stewart's radio show to know when the protest would begin. Stewart went by the on-air nickname The Playboy during that time, and he admits even he knew firsthand what school kids, both black and white, could do in the face of racism. When he wasn't on the air, Shelley the Playboy played records at dance parties that included a 1960 event at a Birmingham area hotspot called Don's Teen Town.
There were about 800 kids there that night to witness the performance of Shelley. Well, the Ku Klux Klan showed up that night, and they demanded that the owner, Ray Mahoney, send me outside so they could... They said, we're going to kill him. And the kids became very disturbed. They bolted out of the door, jumped on the Ku Klux, and the Birmingham News referred to it as a protest. The protest, no, it was not a protest. 1960, those kids who were all white jumped on the Ku Klux and gave me an opportunity to get away.
That was 1960. By January of 1963, the stage was set for Shelley the Playboy and the Children's March. Segregation in Alabama had reached a tipping point.
I, George Corley Wallace, solemnly swear that I will support, the Constitution of the United States,
Governor George Wallace has just officially been sworn in as Alabama's 46th governor. As he leaves the Capitol steps now to come to the inauguration platform for the inauguration address before some 100,000...
In the name of the greatest people that have ever trod this earth, I draw the line in the dust and toss the gauntlet before the feet of tyranny, and I say segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever.
It was mean, and we lived through it.
Eloise Gaffney.
And I, when I tell my kids, they still don't. My children find it hard to believe. And my grandchildren, it's really far-fetched, you know. When I say I couldn't go to Fair Park, and, I mean, you had to pass by Fair Park and see the kids out there playing. So naturally, I was like, why I can't go over there, you know. And I'm sure parents then had a hard time answering those kinds of questions.
On May 2nd, 1963, Gaffney would take part in the Children's March. James Stewart did too.
My mother, when I was very young, my mother took me to town and into one of the stores, and there I had found out by this time that the tall rectangular water fountains had cold water, and the ones right next to it, which were the porcelain white basin type fountains, had warm water. So there was a stool in front of the tall one. So I got up on the stool and I was about to get the water, drink of cold water, and my mother just came out of nowhere saying, "No!" And she lunged at me and swept me away, and she started talking to me about what I could and couldn't do. And those rules were hard to comprehend, because you had to know what's right and what's wrong and what's white.
Gaffney and Stewart would be joined during the Children's March by Washington Booker.
I can remember seeing, some kid with a banana split, a white kid sitting at the counter, a big old banana split. And, I mean, I don't know. I had nothing to compare it to and how it looked. It was just a marvelous thing, and I wanted one. I wanted to sit there at that counter and eat one. And I always thought about that during the marches when we were demonstrating. I would think about that I want to be able to sit at that lunch counter. Yeah, so I can order me one of the banana splits. It seems trivial, but it was a part of the way you understood the world.
Booker, Stewart, and Gaffney would soon find themselves in the middle of the Children's March, as well as the response from the Birmingham police that would shock the nation. That's tomorrow in Part 3 of Civil Rights Radio. Pat Duggins, APR News, in Birmingham.